Let's get the view from the other side. Who better than the guy who covers the program for The Athletic on Twitter? Use the handle at Antonio C. Morales. We welcome back Antonio Morales. Well, since we spoke last October, the world has changed a bit. How are you and yours doing during this craziness?
Doing well, just trying to be safe and watching a lot of college football. So it's about all that's been going on, and looking forward to watching this week's game.
You know, you had an interesting take on this week's opponent. Of course, it was originally going to be Washington, but because of COVID, they had to cancel the Oregon game and the conference title game. So why did you think a potential victory versus the Ducks might hold more value than if they had played and defeated the Huskies?
For the simple reason that Oregon has made great inroads in recruiting Southern California and recruiting California in general over the past couple of years. They had their Cali flock a couple of years ago. And then last year they got Justin Flo, who for a large majority of that recruiting cycle was the number one player in California. So, they beat USC on the field last year. They embarrassed them by 30-something points. And they were taking the best players from the region, and they won the Rose Bowl. So it was a lot of those things. And in USC, their whole motto in recruiting this year has been take back the West. If you're going to do that, it just makes sense that you would have to beat Oregon first, because that kind of crown that belonged to USC for the longest time in West Coast recruiting is on top of Oregon's head right now, has been for the past year or two. So USC, a win over Oregon, I just think would mean more.
All right. I think you present a very good case, counselor. I would imagine Keaton Slovis getting a lot of love among the Trojan faithful. I've seen every single game, and this young guy is just steely when it matters. Three of the five games, starting with the throw to London Drake against ASU, last week after the kick return. You see him day in and day out. I mean, how remarkable has this guy been?
It's been impressive what he's done in the fourth quarter. I think most USC fans kind of, they're wondering what's going on with him this year, because his throws have been somewhat off, especially particularly early in games. Early in the season, it was more noticeable than now, but, something just looks off of his throws, and there isn't as much zip on them as there were last year. And, that was a noticeable part of his game. One of the most impressive parts of his game last year. It was a joy to kind of watch him throw the ball and see some of the throws he would make. And this year, some of that zip has been gone. Some of that velocity has been lost, and nobody can quite put a finger on why. But when it's mattered late in games, he's got the job done. So ultimately, it's there, but it's kind of equaled out, or it's kind of forgotten when it really matters, if he's made all the throws he's needed to, whether it was the throw to Drake London in the fourth quarter against Arizona State, or the throws this weekend against UCLA, the one to Tyler Vaughns and the one to Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's got the job done when he needed to. His dad told me he was a closer growing up in Little League, and he plays like that.
That's great. I didn't know that. Talking USC with Antonio Morales of The Athletic. Beyond being tailback, of course, USC has had some remarkable receivers. I mean, in the league now, Juju Smith-Schuster, Robert Woods, Michael Pittman, and this group, you mentioned St. Brown and Vaughns and London. I mean, getting to watch them work, what's the buzz on how they rate? Because they're also coached by a pretty fair Trojan pass receiver, Kerry Colbert.
Yeah, obviously, there's been a lot of talk for the past 2 years about USC's receiver recruiting and all that. And I think in 2017, it was a young group. Tyler Vaughns was young. Michael Pittman was young. Amon-Ra St. Brown was still in high school. So was Drake London. They recruited those guys over the next couple of years and added them into the fold. Michael Pittman left after a great year last year, but Drake London has kind of taken on a bigger role. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been solid, as he's always been. Same with Tyler Vaughns. And this year they had a Brew McCoy and a Gary Bryant who make really, really good fourth and fifth receivers for this team. It's just really a deep group. And a lot of teams have dropped eight men into coverage this year. And played a lot of zone to try to take the receivers away, but they're still making plays. Nobody's really played man-to-man that often against them. UCLA did it some, Utah did it some, and Washington State did it some, but a lot of those schools, Arizona, Arizona State, they try to just take the deep ball away, but these USC receivers have still found a way to make plays, especially Drake London. Like that 65-yard touchdown catch he had last week against UCLA was pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, I could attest to the fact they've got everybody's attention up here. The offensive line, Tim Drevno took over the gig prior to last year. They lost Austin Jackson, a first-rounder, to the Dolphin. Drew Richmond graduated. Then they moved guys around like Jalen McKenzie, Elijah Vera Tucker. So what's your read on how this line has performed? Because while they've got some experience, it's I think 4 to 5 guys are in new positions.
Yeah, it's been an up-and-down season for those guys, with the exception of Elijah Barrett Tucker, who's most people view as a first rounder, a second rounder. He's been great, but everything else has been kind of up and down. They were the group that kind of got hit hard by COVID a couple of weeks ago, and they couldn't play against Colorado because that offensive line group was basically wiped out. And a lot of USC fans are frustrated at the Washington State game because USC rushed 20 times for only 5 yards. This is really concerning rushing performance. Then later that week, we come to find out USC didn't even practice with the offensive line basically the entire week leading up to the game. They got out of quarantine protocols on that Saturday, and USC played that Sunday against Washington State. Last week was better. You guys have seen Oregon's defensive line up there, UCLA's defensive line up there, and they did a really good job holding up against UCLA's defensive line pretty well. UCLA had 3 sacks, but some of that was, stuff out of the offensive line's control. So I thought they held up pretty well against UCLA, and they ran the ball really well, more than I thought they'd be able to. So I think that was an encouraging performance against them, against one of the better defensive lines in the Pac-12.
You know, I know this is kind of a general question, but you hear from not only the players and coaches, fans, supporters. Clay Helton had a losing year in 2018, 8 wins last year. I think there was a sense this was a really big year as far as his future with the program. So if you think about prior to the opener against Arizona State to now, how would you describe his status as far as job stability among the supporters?
I think with his contract situation, they're 5-0. I mean, it'd be a shock if they moved on from him after this year. But I don't think he's done anything to sway the opinion of those who have doubted him before, if that makes sense.
It does.
They're 5-0, but I feel like a lot of the fan base still feels like this team hasn't played up to its potential. And I think the Arizona game was concerning for them. They didn't like the way they came out against Arizona State, even though I think people thought Arizona State was going to be good. Those games were concerning for them, and especially after seeing Arizona lose 70-7 last week. I think UCLA isn't as concerning just because it's a rivalry game, and UCLA was playing well going into that game. So I don't think that's as much of a concern as those first two games were. I just feel like a large portion of this fan base doesn't think this team has played up to its potential yet. And so I don't think Clay Helton's really swayed a ton of opinions, but he's winning, so there's not much they can really say about it.
Yeah, he's keeping the Wolves at bay. A few final thoughts for Antonio Morales of The Athletic. On the defensive side, they hired Oregon's defensive back coach, Dante Williams. The secondary was really young last year. Chris Steele, Isaiah Taylor Stewart, Chase Williams played as a freshman. I mean, you know the names. They lead the Pac-12 overall in interceptions, but how would you evaluate the entirety of the play of that secondary so far these 5 games?
They've been good. I think a lot of people kind of, want to tout them as great, but I don't know if they've been tested a bunch yet. They're playing a Washington State team that hadn't played in a couple of weeks, and I don't think it's all that great. UCLA really tested them and had some success last week. I think DTR threw for more than 300 yards. It was like 30 of 36 passing. I know a lot of that was like to the running backs and the tight ends, but still, he had a good day against the secondary. And Grant Gunnell had a good day against them too. Arizona State was kind of green at receiver with Johnny Wilson and LB Bunkley Hilton and those guys. They didn't have much chemistry with Jaden Daniels yet, so they didn't really test USC. I think this week coming up with Micah Pittman and Devin Williams, who knows USC really, really well, I think it's going to be certainly the best group of receivers that USC has faced this year. So I'm excited to see how the secondary kind of responds to that challenge.
You know, another new coach, the defensive line guy, Vic Saotu, who Coach Helton brought in from Virginia. I mean, he's a very young coach, just 33 years mm-hmm. old. And I think their only true loss up front was Christian Rector. But be it the brothers, Tui Pelotu, how have the big fellas up front performed this very odd season?
They've done really, really well. I think Vic Saotu has maximize the potential of that group. They lost J. Tufele to an opt-out before the season, and he was a guy who was projected to be a first-rounder or a second-round, a day one or day two pick in the upcoming NFL draft, and he opted out back in August when the Pac-12 canceled the season initially. And, you know, he was the best defensive lineman on the team, and Vic Soto is getting the most out of Marlon Tuipulotu. Tuli Tuipulotu is only a true freshman, but he's getting him to make plays. Nick Figueroa was a rotational piece last year, and he's come on strong and makes plays every game. So I think Soto has been one of the best assistants on the team in terms of maximizing, you know, his group's talent and, you know, having them make plays and having them be loose and you know, play free out there. And it's been really impressive to watch.
And lastly, even though we talked why some prefer USC play Oregon over Washington, now here we are 48 hours from kickoff. What's the buzz among the players and coaches? You mentioned the receivers and, of course, your read on some of the really difficult challenges this Duck team is going to prevent the Trojans in this one.
Yeah, I think USC is kind of amped for this game. They remember last year, and they know that that Oregon is kind of, you know, the program that's trying to take over the West Coast. So I think they realize, you know, what an opportunity this is, and a lot of these kids who are juniors and sophomores who are playing on this year's team, that they haven't played in the Pac-12 title game yet, so they realize the opportunity that's ahead of them. And you know, we talked to Clay Helton at noon today, and he was asked about the CFP rankings from yesterday, and USC obviously didn't move up that far, even though they beat UCLA. They're only 13th in the country. But he said respect is earned, so they kind of have a chip on their shoulder right now in terms of, you know, trying to get that respect and trying to show the committee they do belong in that conversation. So I think that will be on their mind when they play on Saturday. I just think this is a much tougher matchup for them than Washington was. I think Oregon's offense is better than Washington's. I know the defense is worse than Washington's, but I still think there's playmakers up front with Thibodeau and Sewell and the defensive front seven that can cause USC some issues. So I think it's going to be a close, competitive game, and you know, USC will have its work cut out for itself.
Yeah, it's, you know, started in 2011, the first time these schools have met in the title game. Should be pretty special. Folks, he is Antonio Morales on Twitter. Use at Antonio C. Morales, doing great work covering the program for The Athletic. And Antonio, I really appreciate your time. Wishing you and yours well. Be safe, be sane, enjoy the game, and always look forward to catching up again down the road.
Thanks, likewise. Good to hear from you.
All right, take it easy.